702. Political analysis.
And my guest is Bisa Mncube. He is an author and regular columnist for The Witness, content creator and a frequent political commentator on ENCA. His latest book, The Ramaphosa Chronicles, is one worth taking time to read. But this evening we are going to be talking about some of the ideas in his opinion piece entitled Two-Faced Leaders. Nothing yells unity like slapping a departed and a current leader together on the same billboard. Bisa, thank you so much, my brother, for agreeing to talk to us once again. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. But I'm not sure if I agreed to talk to you guys. I was ambushed.
Oh, yes? My apologies.
By a woman whose name I will not mention on air. But here I am now.
That woman is looking at me right now and she's laughing at me. And she does a great job, by the way, of ambushing those guests who try to riddle free from the conversations that they've started. Let me ask you this question. I mean, the style of this opinion piece is set as a letter to Mahlambandlovu. Who are we talking about in Mahlambandlovu?
It's been 4 years now. I write and I have this imaginary conversation with the president of the republic,
yeah.
Cyril Matamela Ramaphosa. Whatever goes wrong in the republic, I blame him. If someone in the middle of nowhere in Northern Cape, a councillor, does something right, I say Matamela has delivered.
Mm.
So in a sense, it's an intergenerational conversation about our country, so that we look at what is it that we can do for our country to progress. If he succeeds, I want him to succeed, because then this country succeeds, you know, because we're not going to, no, this is not a city of Johannesburg. We're not going to have a new mayor every week. So this has been going on for 4 years. I'm made to believe that is the longest running open letter series to a head of state in this democracy since 1994. And I've enjoyed myself in it. But sometimes I write from a sense of outrage. It's not always comforting. It's not always goody-goody stuff.
Yeah.
Because we have got to get our country working. And to do that, we have to call out those who hold us back. We have to call out those miscreants who still, in broad daylight, and those who take money meant for water and give it to their friends who have tankers, it's our country.
For sure.
I know that people have options to leave. I've made a decision that I'm not going to leave.
Mm.
So I'm here to fix the country. Maybe not rescue it, because that's the language of the DA.
Yeah.
No, even fixing is the language of the Action SA.
Yes.
So somewhere there, we stay. If we stay, we build.
Mm.
If we have exhausted our emotional energy, we either withdraw into some little corner, or we leave the country. We do whatever that is permissible and allowed in terms of our laws.
Yeah.
But for me, I am out there, and people ask me, why you keep doing it? It has no impact. Has the president called you? I'm like, no. It's a conscious decision. I am not seeking an audience with the president. I want the president to do what is his oath of office says,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Deliver to the people of South Africa,
yeah.
Strengthen the NPA, get the SIU to recover all the lost money, get the health system working, you know, get the country firing from all cylinders.
Sure,
that's all it's about, you yeah. know, the rest really are frills, you know,
yeah.
that we can do without.
Yeah. But you raise a very interesting issue in this article. One, I have also raised to say it's interesting that at least, and I was making the observation in this year's elections and the paraphernalia that various parties make, put on our streetlights, you know, the billboards, the party posters and all of those things that they use to try and get our intelligence, our attention, so that we ultimately vote for them. I noticed, particularly with the IFP, that the picture of Ushenge continues to be the picture that they use to, I suppose, garner sympathy or votes or whatever. And I asked the question, why aren't they using the new guy? And somebody did call, and in fairness, I think it was a fair, although he was a bit angry with me, but I think it was a fair observation to say, in the past, we've seen how even the ANC has used the pictures of Nelson Mandela and Walter Sisulu and Mama Sisulu, O.R. Tambo, in their campaign processes. Why is it an issue now that the IFP is doing the same? And you seem to be suggesting that we need to have a conversation about that too.
Yes, I mean, it looked like an inane thing, and it looks illogical. But we have never been confronted with a picture of a man who is long dead on the billboard. T-shirts have a longer lifespan, you know. So if you had T-shirts for local government and we had all your leaders, you know, your star leaders, like yep. You mentioned the ANC, with you know, to want to invoke that kind of feeling of nostalgia, you have your Oliver Tambo, your Walter Sisulu. But the IFP has only had one leader, all its 49. Almost 50 years now. Mm. Now, I think what they were trying to do is to remind people that this is the same IFP of Inkosi Mangosuthu Buthelezi,
yes,
our dearly departed leader.
So, yes.
So you're paying homage to your leader. It to me, it makes a lot of sense. Mm. Until the IEC says this week, no, in fact, there are two faces on the billboard, but there will be one face on the ballot paper, and that will be the new guy. I call him a political pipsqueak, because that's what Buthelezi used to describe me when I was a political reporter. Now, look, make no mistake, Thabiso is a nice guy. You know, he's just ideologically empty. You know, he's just a nice guy. What I mean, he's a nice guy. I mean, yeah. You're not going to say
I did say in my introduction in the previous hour that he is generally respected. I mean, people know him, and you don't hear all sorts of scandals around him. And he's generally, I think you use the right word, a nice guy. Yeah.
You warm up to him,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which means they should have invested more money in selling his face. Now, you're selling a wrong face that won't be in the ballot paper. We know in this country, the issue of who appears in a ballot paper is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers of spoiled ballots, I forgot the numbers now, but they were the highest just in the recent elections, with the local government elections.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we had restrictions, and not many people were driving around, and not many parties were putting up posters, because people were locked in their houses.
Mm.
And then the number of spoiled papers have always been an issue in this country, even since 1994. I was training people on how to vote before 1994.
Mm.
Now I'm giving away my age. But so it's an important political process. And also it says in political science, you have a leader, you rally around that leader, you advertise, you market that leader. You can't market two products at once in one advert. You know, you say, hey guys, we're selling insurance, but we also sell a Amagwinya. You know, because when people get at the point of sale, what do they find? They find a very unfamiliar face.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose the vote.
Yeah.
And then the moment has passed. You'll realize that when the results are out, and you're like, but I was doing well in the polls.
Mm.
The campaign was relatively good. The funding wasn't so bad. What went wrong?
Mm.
And you can only come to one conclusion, that their votes were lost. They're not necessarily going to say, okay, I was going to vote for the IFP. Oh, IFP, I can't see Buthelezi here. Mm. So now I'm going to change my vote and vote for something else.
Mm.
Voters just generally don't do that. At some point, they make a decision and they stick to that decision. They get into the voting booth. They want to see Mandela. They vote Mandela.
Mm.
They used to say in 94, it's about from Tanan. The one from prison. Show me. You're looking for Mandela. The one from prison.
I want to ask you this question, and maybe I'm also, you know, displaying my ignorance out there. But, and let's for a moment stay with the IFP. The IFP is largely a regional party that that appeals, I suppose, to some of the traditional value systems and worldview that you could say is a little more traditional. Regional in the sense that it is largely, I mean, I'm not going to win the battle if somebody says, yeah, but we've got members in Soweto. I get that, but I'm arguing that it is largely a regional political party having a particular worldview, a particular cultural sort of background. Could it be that it is in fact a masterstroke in that particular context to have Usheng as the face, because it communicates the idea of continuity of value systems. It continues the idea of staying traditional and loyal to some of the values of the founder. Could it be that from that point of view, in that context, it actually works? Maybe it doesn't work here in Gauteng. Maybe it won't work in Bloemfontein. Maybe it won't work in Cape Town. But maybe in Kwanongoma, it does work. Maybe in some of the rural areas in KwaZulu-Natal, that kind of communication is relevant and makes sense and is the right thing to do?
Well, you consider that the IFP is really... it's not a swear word. It's a rural party with limited support in urban areas like Thekwini. That's why they have never made a dash to take over the metro in Thekwini.
Mm.
So what you're saying makes a lot of sense, in the sense that people would see a familiar face. Oh, it's IFP. IFP is Mtwana. Mtwana is about Amakhosi, you know. Is about Indlunkulu,
yes.
Is about Isilo, is about our values, is about our culture, is about our Izinduna, you know, the whole shebang that goes with part of that train of thought.
Yes.
You know, it's all well and good. All I'm saying is we do not have the highest level of voter literacy in this country.
Mm.
That is why people were saying, oh, Mandela just got out of prison and suddenly the guy was famous. But you still have people in the voting station not remembering the name. But yes, they knew something, that he was a prisoner.
Yes. Yes.
But by law, the IEC people today cannot help a person who say, I want to vote for a party of Buthelezi. You remember Inkosi Buthelezi?
Yes.
Show me that party.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in South Africa, you can't steal an election, because by design, you have the IEC staff and then you have the political party appointees who are party agents there, and then we have the whole lot of multinationals who monitor our elections.
Mm.
So it's very difficult to assist people, even if you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Because, I mean, one way or the other, if you have half a brain in South Africa, you'll know what is what in politics. For
yes,
those people who play this game, like me and you, we do.
Mm.
So it does make a lot of sense to draw in your traditional support, and then, but about the new people, who must then, because Sabisa has this unenviable task to be the second president of a party after, I don't know, all these years. And he's taking the party to the election for the first time when Mtwana is actually late. So in my And from what I read about political communication, consistency is important, but consistency cannot mean the dead and the living competing on the billboard on the N1 Gauteng.
Yeah.
Maybe if it is Ngoma, you say, I saw this one on N1. I was like, that's where the idea of this column was born.
Let me ask another question, and really, I'm trying to go into the psyche of the leadership of the IFP, and then we'll go into the ANC, because those are really the parties that continue to use the faces of former leaders, and let's see why they would do that. But let me stay a little bit with the IFP. Part of the IFP's worldview is one that says we are African, we are Zulu. And part of that is the veneration, the reverence of ancestors and ancestry. An idea sometimes that would include the idea of being blessed from a divine point of view. Could it be that within the IFP itself, right, the idea of a leader in the person of Tabisa is still very precarious? They themselves haven't really accepted him as the leader of the party. And as a way by which he diffuses the tension within the party, from other leaders that believe that they should be the leaders of the party, this gesture of continuing to have the face, the spirit of Umdwana, is a way by which that tension is diffused, that unity is brought back. I mean, I'm looking at your subtitle here where you say nothing yells unity like slapping a departed and a current leader together on the same billboard. Could this be indicative of the continuing tensions between the leaders of the IFP post Mangosuthu Buthelezi, and this being a way by which they appease and diffuse that division?
Umntwana wokungena had very colorful language. Yeah. One of the things I learned very early in the 80s, long before I did Shakespeare, he used to write and say, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. And I had no idea what this guy was on about until late in the 90s.
Yes.
So I know this because politics comes second nature. And it goes deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the spirit. There is absolutely no acceptance of Tabisa as a leader of the IFP.
Because at all, huh?
There are dinosaurs there. Some of them I know personally, I've spoken to them. Some of them are related to my family. So one of them, for instance, is Blessed Gwala. He's always been in the IFP since he was 13 years old.
Mm.
You ask yourself why he must now defer to a youngster who not so long ago was a counselor and a teacher. And he is not even a traditional leader. He is not Inkosi Tabisa. He is just a Tabisa. And we know this, that he was picked by Umdwana to be the successor because of many reasons. One of them is that he himself couldn't choose among his loyalists who will carry his legacy. Because leaders worry about their legacy. They don't worry about, some of them don't worry about service delivery. They worry about their legacy. And so that is one problem. I remember having this discussion with someone in KwaZulu-Natal after Umdwana had passed on. And he was saying, hey, I was with the guys who are in the legislature in KwaZulu-Natal, and they were celebrating. I'm like, no, I don't understand. IFP people will never celebrate the death of Umdwana. Say, no, don't be stupid. they were not celebrating the death of Mntwana. They were celebrating that the president of the IFP, Mr. Hlabisa, is going to be shipped to Cape Town.
Really?
So that they can stay in KwaZulu-Natal and do things the way we have always done them. You understand the issue of continuity? The way we have always done things. You know, the ways of Mntwana, because we are the real repository of the ideas, of the culture, of the I don't know, the way Mntwana used to interact with Indlunkulu. He was partly a relative there. He was Undunankulu. So he had a pedigree that Hlabisa just does not have. What works for him, we've discussed this with you, is that he comes across like a nice person. And he is relatively educated. He speaks well. And there is not many things following him around. You know those things, the skeletons.
Yeah.
So that works for him. It should work. Ideally, it should work for the party. There's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't. But we know that parties have these entrenched factions and entrenched groupings and ideas. And there's always resistance to change. You know, in the ANC, there was something called radical economic transformation. Came out of nowhere.
Mm.
You know, they wouldn't allow one other guy to run the party when he was president. You know, they were like, we're there, we're here, we're not going to succeed.
Mm.
So this is it's not even a South African problem. I mean, in Germany, they've had coalitions, I don't know for how long.
Yeah.
You know, because there's simply no one can get enough votes to rule alone.
Mm.
So the IFP problems are much deeper than that, but is not so much as in the personal defect of the current cohort of leaders. It's one of those issues of affection. And like, I was here before you.
Yes.
Now you are president.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes I get that feeling also somewhere else.
I'm not oblivious of the fact that, I suppose, the ANC, the IFP are the only parties, and maybe we could throw in AZAPO and the PAC into that mix, although their influence in the political space at the moment is deeply limited. I'm talking about AZAPO and PAC, but the IFP, the ANC, AZAPO, PAC are the parties that come from pre-1994. And I would argue that they have not evolved really from the rhetoric, the mindset, the ideological, positions that they had pre-1994. They are still very much the parties of pre-1994 with the issues of pre-1994. And the rest of the parties, other than those four, are the parties that emerge after 1994, and they don't have the depth and the history of leadership that they would like to have. In fact, I know that there's a big fight at the moment where the MK party, the new MK party, wanted to use some of the paraphernalia that would speak of Chris Hani as perhaps a spiritual leader of the MK party. And Mum Dimbohani said, not a damn. Okay. But we see that there are certain people. I think that one of the bodyguards of former leader of the SACP, Chris Hani, was suggesting that had Chris Hani been alive today, he would have been a member of the MK party. And the suggestion, in a very sort of a clumsy way, is that he too would have been a spiritual leader of this MK party. And I suppose they are a little bit reticent to use his pictures in the paraphernalia of the MK party. We see similar sort of things with Mam Winnie Mandela as far as the EFF is concerned. From the days of the funeral, of the funeral of Mam Winnie Mandela with the Give Us a Sign, Mama, a speech by Julius Malema. There has been and of course the naming of their headquarters in Braamfontein, the Winnie Mandela House. There is an ingratiation, a claim of that legacy leader by the EFF, but you don't see them putting them on billboards as part of their election campaign. But you do see the ANC use O.R. Tambo, Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, and all of the other luminaries of the African National Congress. So my question to you is that not a communication of pedigree, of staying power, of being loyal to certain original ideas? I mean, we've seen how the ANC has had the pictures of Pixley Gasser on some of their stuff, you know. Is this not a communication of the idea that, oh no, we have not wavered, we are still the same people, unlike these other people who flip flop from time to time? Is that not the message?
Well, it is. That's the intention. But you must look at the backstory. In the ANC, it is a tradition that you can go to the mamas and the fathers who sell the party regalia and find all the pictures on the T-shirts of all the leaders. It's just routine, you know. No one even thinks about it. There is no NEC decision that says only the picture of Nelson Mandela, for instance, should be used, you know. But the IFP has a National Council resolution that says in our T-shirts and whatnot, there is going to be the picture of a person in the form of Inkosi Yokotelis. And so it takes the debate into a completely different territory. The ANC is claiming the heritage. I mean, these parties, as you mentioned them, the PACs and the ZAPOs, and they're almost heritage product of in the political space in this country. And then they hold certain people to this day will tell you that I do not think about whom to vote for. I wake up and go and vote for the ANC. I don't read the manifesto. I'm doing it for Chris Hani. I'm doing it for Nelson Mandela, you know. I'm doing it for Walter Sisulu. And there are people who also do the same thing. I'll tell you a short story. My mom, when she was still alive, I once tried to persuade her not to vote for the IFP. And I explained to her that no one will know, you know. Come on, Mama. Do this one for me, Mama. Yes. You know what my mother said to me? She said, Mtanam, you don't know the IFP. These people will know, and I mean, I don't want to die.
Oh, Sam.
That was the first time that year that I had a political discussion with my mother. But it shows you the impact of two things. One, impact of propaganda, and two, the impact of intimidation, the political violence on the psyche of the voters, and how long that endures. Because I'd forgotten, to tell you the truth, I had forgotten about political violence. I had forgotten about intimidation because everybody was campaigning in Zululand. It was like a field day. Everyone was campaigning. No one was taking over stadium. No one was getting killed. Posters of everybody are everywhere. I mean, this year, the party that has the largest number of posters in the whole country is the Rise in Zanzi. They were born yesterday. Everywhere. They don't have break. In the middle of nowhere, they are there. Yeah. And it's not one. It's like a proper. you know. So that for me is also a strength of our democracy. Sometimes we forget to say there are things that actually in the country that work, and they work very well. So these parties have the predatory. They cannot talk about the future without invoking the past, without invoking their ancestors, because, you know, the story of we are Africans, you know, we are part of Africa, we want to create a better world, you know, a better Africa, is all connected to communicate a particular message that we're part of the global south. We are not the poodles of the global north.
Yes.
So These things are important, but IFP is in a pickle because they have never had, I don't want to use the word, they have never had democracy, because democracy can be described in many ways. They had limited, let me put it that way, limited internal democracy.
Is that not part of their
staying power?
Of their political identity? And again, I'm asking this very, very genuinely. The IFP has never pretended to be a democratic party. in this sense, as you've already pointed out, that they are a traditional party. They respect the historical sort of pedigree of, I was here before you, I'm an Induna, I'm an Inkosi. So the idea of liberal democracy in the classical sense has never been the IFP's political claim. And could it be that that is why they have such staying power in KwaZulu-Natal? Because culturally, that way of thinking would appeal to culturalists, to traditionalists, that Inkosi le, yes, we are participating in the secular politics of this country, but we are doing it our way. Could it be that that is part of their political strategy and it works for them, in that if anybody has any chance of unsettling the ANC's dominance in KwaZulu-Natal, it would be the IFP, and maybe now the MK party, if they sort out the recent battles that they are facing with their leadership being fired left, right, and center. But I'm arguing that the IFP's staying power has been precisely that it is not messing around with the ideas of democracy in the liberal sense.
Well, when I was a young activist, and you know, when you're young, you think you're going to change the world, which we know is a fool's errand.
Yes.
One of the stories that we used to be told about how the IFP runs its conferences was that they will be like, and now it's time for elections. We want to know who among you who wants to take the position of the president of the IFP from its founder, Inkosi Mangosuthu Buthelezi. If that person exists in this hall, he must stand up so that we can deal with him.
Although Inkosi, some of the newer parties are being accused of the same thing.
I can't imagine Julius not being what does he call himself? Commander in chief of the EFF. I just can't. I've tried, but I can't. Not that I want him to go, but I can't see him not being the commander-in-chief.
I think the solid truth about that situation is that the EFF is still very much a party that hinges very much on the charisma of that one individual, right? And that's Julius Malema. So I think that it would be political suicide for them at this stage of their evolution to lose his
experimenting.
Yeah, well, I think they'd be in a lot of trouble. I mean, I think at this stage, even though we hear sometimes that there are tensions between certain leaders, that some leaders have left because he was the unassailable, what does it mean again? Commander in chief of the. So I think that it's undeniable that Julius Malema will be the shenge of the EFF for some time. because really the charisma he has or he enjoys, and his pedigree in the political space, and his ability to overcome different issues, has been something that has endeared him to a lot of people in the EFF and those that sympathize with that political party. But they are too young at this stage to have a Shange, for example, or a Nelson Mandela or a Walter Sisulu in the case of the ANC.
No. That unfortunately, I agree. Trying to run a political party in this country is not an easy business.
Yeah.
You just look at things like the UDM. They've never put a foot wrong, but they've never grown.
Yeah.
So the thing I wanted
and it would be a bit embarrassing to have Ruth Meyer as one of them.
No.
I don't think that their strongholds in the Eastern Cape, I'm talking about the UDM, I don't think that their strongholds in the, if indeed you want to call those things strongholds, in the UDM, in the Eastern Cape, would appreciate a legacy leader being a Ruth Meyer, even though he is, in fact, a legacy leader of the UDM.
Yeah, the co-founder.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The co-founder, but... times have changed. I watch a lot of television and news, and young people, the language that's coming out of the young people who go to universities, I mean, they stand up and say, Den Moyane, I am landless. People, they make their point. I'm like, yeah.
You've just given away your age.
I am landless. You know?
Oh God, yeah.
So the thing I wanted to say about Buthelezi and what you were explaining, the legacy, the thing, but that was Buthelezi's strong political communication strategy.
Yeah.
That you were never sure what it meant to be not part of the IFP because it's a political party. And how to divorce yourself from the IFP and still admire and follow and attend certain events hosted by Inkosi Buthelezi in his capacity as the traditional prime minister of the Zulu King. And how do you communicate that to people around you? To say, angiyamthanda umntwana, ngiyamthanda futhi ke today, because today he comes as my undunankulu.
Mm.
But yesterday he was ISP leader.
Mm.
He confused those roles on purpose.
Yes.
Because when I was a youngster, I used to attend on the 24th of September, there was something big there to commemorate the death of Inkosi Shaka.
Mm.
And Buthelezi will come with his speeches prepared in Zulu and English.
Mm.
And they'll be distributed to a stadium full of people.
Mm.
There will be buses. No one will say who's going. There will be an announcement of the date and the venue, and the buses will come in my village. And the expectation, generally, no one told you, was that if you're not looking after the cows, you jump in.
Mm.
And they were always full. There was never deep radio advertisements or anything.
Mm.
Because that was our thing, you know. We are the Zulus and we're commemorating our founder.
Yeah.
How can you not be there? But you get there, the message is actually political.
Mm.
And it's going to be delivered in English, although they were like 100% Zulus. But you get your own copy to take home.
Yeah.
And no other party has actually done something like that. They speak, what was the word? Speak above the people.
Yes.
Buthelezi knew how to take his people along with him.
Yes.
But this is 2024. As I was telling you about that young girl on television.
Mm.
They are not in the business of ancestry, the business of spirits. They want to study data science. They want to do AI. They want a leader who dances to some funny music that young people dance to.
Mm.
I've never seen Tlhabisa dancing. I try. I can't dance myself, but I'm not saying you should be dancing.
Yeah.
But I've seen the moves of Minister of Communications. Mondli Kungubela.
Yes.
I didn't know that guy could dance, eh?
Yeah.
But I saw him on the campaign trail on one of the videos. I was like, okay, so I'm left alone here. I can't dance. but they need also a different language. The idea of telling us about the great Zulu nation, these are global citizens. You know, they know who is the greatest artist, not just in America, in Britain.
Mm.
and they consume that kind of music. They consume content from Kenya on the podcast. They are different people. They have a different proposition for what they want.
So you're saying to me that the young voter or the modern voter, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, is no longer as insulated from the rest of the world as perhaps they may have been in the time of Mtwana, or let's say in the heydays of his leadership?
That's correct. It's a different ball game. Not even the father of radical economic transformation.
Yeah.
Will navigate was natural of today successfully by telling people that we must give up the constitution and our traditional leaders must be the one who lead us. Not even the IFP says that.
but let me ask this question. And there was this very interesting episode a few weeks ago where MEC Duma, the bodybuilder. took the mic away from the new Prime Minister of the Royal House. Did you hear my words?
I did
that deliberately. If you didn't catch it, forget about it. but here's my question to you. Could it be that that's precisely what Duma was trying to break, the stronghold, the stronghold of the IFP's ability to play the game on both the traditional side of things and still be a political party? Is that not perhaps what Duma was trying to address rather clumsily at that particular meeting where he took that mic from the young Obtelezi?
The young Obtelezi has more problems than both of us combined. But anyway, what Duma did was, of course, unprecedented. But we know someone has got to stand up to the new generation of IFP leaders. They cannot allow what Obtelezi did, because he was a different was cut from a different cloth, you know, to play the game on both sides. And successfully so. The new Obtelezi, who is not even related to the Inkosi Yawa Obtelezi, Tula Sizwe.
Oh, he's not related.
They're not even related.
Okay.
And he's a youngster. When I say youngster, he's younger than me. When you're younger than me, we're a youngster. Yeah. I don't care who says what. So he comes to the royal house with nothing.
Yes.
His mother was not a Zulu of the royal family. His mother is a commoner. Tula Sizwe is a commoner. And he has not covered himself in glory. He lost a court case. He was not even a respondent last week. You know, we are special when you start losing a case where we are not even a respondent. And there's this allegation swirling around him that women get fired. If they refuse certain sexual advances, and one of them won a court case last week. It was a troubling. It was bad. The judge was like, he's not here, but he should be in the papers. So he was clumsy. Obviously, the response in the presence of the king, revered Zulu king, and the president of the republic. If someone else snatched the microphone, and Duma defended that person later, it will have lessened the blow in terms of, you know, the sheer importance of the event and the people in attendance. You know, I'm mentioning only these two, but, you know, the diplomatic corps in this country, they attend these kinds of events. You know, when you touch the Zulu nation, or you have a commemoration of a Zulu king, a leader, it's the BBC that is there. It's the CNN. You know, it's beyond South Africa. It's beyond KwaZulu-Natal.
Yeah.
So of course it was very clamped. But Obtelezi isn't going to is not going to add value. or rather use the position of being prime minister to advance the fortunes of the IFP. Yeah. He is drowning there in Zululand. I mean, if you can't run a district municipality, I mean, give me a break. I can run that thing here from Pretoria.
let me, as we close, I am arguing that maybe the IFP, outside of KwaZulu-Natal, I think the use of Shang's picture is not going to add any value to their attempts at gaining values outside of KwaZulu-Natal. But I'm arguing that in the rural areas of KwaZulu-Natal, that strategy, that thinking, that use of that picture might carry a lot of weight. And for that reason, they've communicated to their constituency a particular message that will keep them as serious contenders of power in KwaZulu-Natal, and that they're not necessarily interested in any other power anywhere else.
The last dinosaur to vote for IFP in my family, my late father, was buried in Feb. When he died, he was 87. Mm. Trying to appeal to people who are 87, you might find that they're actually dead. Someone said at the funeral, everyone knows Mr. Mube was IFP. Can we get someone to do a slogan? And that's like, not where I pay. I pay for this funeral. We're not doing politics. But anyway, they did their slogan and everyone was happy.
Yes.
But the point I'm making is, it's strategy works, but the people is intended to work for, they're not there.
Yeah.
There's people not there. When Inkosi Buthelezi died, he was what, 1994?
Yes.
And his generation, he was the longest living.
Yes.
Because we lived a good life, you know. He wasn't indulging in all the things that some of us indulge in.
Yeah.
But so the congestion could work, could very much work in Eshowe, where I was born, could work in Wanongoma, in Mbangeni. But the people that are targeted are not there.
Yeah.
They're simply just not there. My mom is no longer there. And those were stable IFP voters that could be trusted each election without fail, without questions, without reading the manifesto, without seeing anyone on TV, without billboard. That's the kind of support that certain parties like the ANC used to have.
Mm.
And what I'm not sure, now we explain the IFP scenario, and there are certain points of convergence in terms of what it could work for.
Mm.
But how do you explain the pictures of Msimang in Gauteng and the leader of the DA, Mr. Metric, John Stehazy?
Oh, Nkosi Yam. That's another hour altogether, Big Caesar.
But Msimang won't even be on the ballot because there are no provincial ballots. So what is he doing there?
Mm.
And it's two males again.
Yes. Could they not be trying to communicate the idea that, oh no, we are multiracial, we are the most multiracial party in South Africa, we the DA, is that not what they're trying to communicate? To
Msimango carries the wreckage of the Itswane municipality, which to this day is on its knees. He took away by a stroke of a pen 12 billion rand and gave it to Glad Africa. He said they must fix infrastructure. Did not even say road number 15 and 19. Just infrastructure. Manage everything.
Another hour. Another hour we need to have looking at this paraphernalia. Bigizam Ngube, thank you so much for joining us. Author and political commentator looking at the messaging that we can glean from the paraphernalia of various parties. And the conversation really focused on the IFP because I suppose they are the most interesting in that regard.